The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord. Now, this is not an arrogant statement. That's me. Paul was glad to say, I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm glad to say I'm a servant of the Lord. And every person in here ought to be able to say the same thing. If you're saved, you're God's servant. He said, and the servant of the Lord. But Paul is addressing Timothy, a preacher, and he says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Listen, we ought not to love confrontation. I don't enjoy confrontation. It's not something we should do. It says here, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Is it possible that you today are opposing yourself, that you are your own worst enemy, but before you can get some help, you're going to have to acknowledge it? They've got to acknowledge the truth. And my job is to help them. Is that what it's telling me? My job is to instruct those that oppose themselves, help them acknowledge the truth so that they can repent, and then the goal, verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken what? Captive by him at his will. Let's pray. Father, God, you sure are good to us. And I pray now that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to take this unworthy vessel and do through me what I cannot do. Lord, help your people is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Anybody ever here got a vehicle stuck? Let me see your hands if you ever got a vehicle stuck. Boy, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not the only one. That's probably about 80% of you. One time I had a pond, and it wouldn't hold water, and I didn't like where it was, and it was surrounded by woods, and had a lot of trees. I think I got Brother Mike over there, if I'm not mistaken, got his opinion. And anyway, that thing just wouldn't hold water, and it had, you know, probably about that much water in the bottom of it. And I just decided to bury the thing, and so I brought in some dirt, and I caved in the banks, and got rid of the trees and the roots, and I covered that thing up, and I knew that it would be a little soft for a while. But I guess it was about a year later, I was back there on my tractor, and I decided it was time to go across it. It wasn't. Man, that tractor got stuck, and here's how smart we are. We're going to get it unstuck. And I was going backward and forward and backward and forward. Some of you have done that with a clutch, you know, and you'll go in reverse, and you'll jerk up into first, and you'll try to get... And what are you doing? You're just digging deeper and deeper and deeper. I literally had the axle sitting on the ground. I wasn't going anywhere. That tractor wasn't going anywhere. I drove a Ford Maverick into the Tennessee River. 1978. It was raining, cats and dogs. Rhonda and I are going down the road, and it's raining hard. We're doing about 30 miles an hour. All of a sudden, I saw a sign that said, no night ferry. And then I saw a sign that said, no night ferry. I knew what that meant. That meant there wasn't a ferry this time of night. I wasn't worried about that. Next thing I knew, I saw a stop sign. Next thing I knew, I drove my Maverick into the Tennessee River with the back wheels barely on the ramp that went down under the water for the boats and the ferry and all that. And I barely could even get the doors open because of the water pressure. And that Maverick was stuck and wouldn't get out. I was done. Wasn't going anywhere. I had Jacob with me one time. Went over to a place in Pleasant Shade. We went up this pretty steep embankment hill. We went up there to go hunting. And Jimmy Long owned the land, if I remember correctly. And I had an old pickup truck, front wheel drive, you know, or rear wheel drive, you know, and there was no weight in the back of them pickup trucks. And I start coming down off that thing, and I lost control. Next thing I know, I got one wheel that's in the air on a big cliff. Couldn't go forward, couldn't go backward. Got out and started walking. You ever been stuck? That's stuck. In other words, so stuck, my only hope is somebody or something outside of my ability. Yes. So stuck, if somebody don't help me, I'm not going to get out. Thank God in every one of those situations, Jason Bridgewater came and got my tractor with his big four-wheel. He tried one tractor. It didn't work. He went and got his big four-wheel drive tractor. He got me out. Ford Maverick, 24-hour wrecker service. They got me out. That truck, Jimmy Long and some other guys, took a tractor up there and pulled it off of that embankment. Got me out. But if I didn't get some help outside of myself, I'd have never got unstuck. I got a feeling some of you know where I'm going. I read this passage because either I've never seen so much bondage and captivity as I'm seeing today, or it's been there and I've been blind to it. And I don't think it's been this bad ever before. More and more people in captivity and bondage in the last few months. If I could tell you all the people that I've dealt with and all the problems that I've dealt with and all the bondage that I've tried to help people with, it would really surprise you if you knew the whole story. Maybe the most difficult form of bondage that I deal with is people who are in bondage but don't know it. Or, here's what I think is even more likely, will not admit it. Now, there are people in bondage and don't know it, but there are more people in bondage that know it, they just will not admit it. You know what I'm talking about. The word in our text, verse 26, is the word captive, taken captive by Him at His will. So we use words like captivity and bondage, which are Bible words. We often talk about the Old Testament Jews when they were in the Babylonian what? Captivity. And then we talk about them when they were in Egypt. It was called Egyptian bondage. Those words, captivity and bondage, by the way, if you want to look at how to get out of that captivity and you want to look at how to get out of bondage, study Israel in Egypt, Israel in Babylon, and see how to get out. I'll tell you how to get out. Somebody's going to have to show up that's bigger than you are. Somebody's going to have to show up and enable you to do what you cannot do by yourself. Amen. And so, there are a lot of types of bondage and captivity. Now remember, I'm supposed to try to instruct those that are in captivity and try to help them. And the only way that I can help them is if they will acknowledge the truth. There's physical bondage, there's spiritual bondage, there's emotional bondage, there's mental bondage. Would you agree with me? Some people are in bondage to alcohol. Would y'all agree with that? Would you agree that some people are in bondage to drugs? Not only, you know, a meth, cocaine, those kind of things, but prescribed drugs. Some people are just in bondage. Let's not beat them up. Let's pray for them. Let's acknowledge the sin, but also acknowledge that they need help outside of themselves. We're talking about bondage. Would you agree with me? Some people are in bondage to pornography. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. Okay, so you agree with me, people are clearly in bondage to alcohol, drugs, and pornography, but do you realize how many people are in one of those three categories but will not admit it? Mark it down. If you come to my study and say, yeah, I did this and I did that, but I'm not really addicted to it, you're probably not going to convince me. Nobody admits it. Everybody wants to pretend I can quit anytime I want to. Isn't that what they all say? You need to understand something, especially you young men, and it's not just for men, it's for ladies as well. But you young men, listen to me. When it comes to pornography, in this room right now are some young men that's addicted to it. And I'm going to tell you something. It only gets worse. It doesn't get better until you get the victory. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Our chaplains will tell us, prison men will tell us that are preaching in the prison. Bobby Cox will tell you this. I've been in the prisons. I've dealt with some of these men, and they'll tell you many times the reason they're in there started out with pornography. And it gets uglier and it gets more hideous and it gets more damaging and it'll ruin your family. It'll ruin your future life. It'll ruin your life. You better get the victory. But first, you got to admit. Got to acknowledge. I really don't have a clue how much of this sermon I'll preach today. I could preach for 3 hours with no problem. Because we are living in a world of captivity. What about bondage to bitterness? Some of you this morning are in bondage to anger. You can't handle your temper. I've seen young men and young ladies who are just full of anger. Just full of anger at life. Here's the problem with a lot of these sins is that you don't take it out on the person you should. You take it out on those you shouldn't. If you're battling bitterness and anger, it's the people you love the most that'll suffer because of it. You understand what I'm saying? I wonder how many people in this room right now are in bondage to bitterness and anger, a temper, but will not admit it. That they've even, oh, you make a big deal. That ain't, I didn't act like that. Oh, you know I'd never hit you. But all she feels is the anger and the fear because you look out of control. How about bondage to guilt? Very closely connected to the bondage of regret. I've been there. Where you can allow the regret that you have over things you did wrong 10 years ago to keep you from enjoying today because you messed up 10 years ago. You can't live with regret. All of us have regret. How many of you have regret? Let me see your hands. Everybody in here has regret, but you can't let it control today. You messed up tomorrow. Tell God you're sorry. Get it under the blood and move on. Don't let your mistakes of the past keep you from enjoying today. There's the bondage of bitterness, the bondage of guilt, the bondage of regret. People are in bondage to the past. There's so many ways I could explain this one. Some of you, you made mistakes way back there and you're still living with the spirit of that mistake. I'm already seeing what I thought I would see in this message. A lot of people that know the first thing they're going to have to do today is get in this altar and acknowledge it. Step number one, admit it. How about living in the past because of the loss of loved ones? You lost a child. I see this often, and I've dealt with this even in this county for 32 years. It's happened several times where somebody loses a spouse and they just can't go on. They just can't move on. 3, 4, 5 years later, still walking around defeated because you lost somebody. And you think it wasn't fair. Probably wasn't. Life's not. Well, what are you going to do? God wants you to move on. And you're not paying homage to the person you lost by spending the rest of your life miserable. I got to tell you, I've never told anybody this. I really, really, really wondered. I was very, very concerned about how Rhonda would handle her daddy's departure. And she has handled it like a trooper. She's handled it so well. But I deal with other people 3, 4, 5 years after the loss of a spouse or a parent. They just don't even want to get out of the bed. Listen, as long as you're breathing, you belong to God. And that breath is His breath that He gave you. And He's got something for you to do. And maybe you've gone through some hard times so that you can comfort somebody else. You need to get up and go on. Quit living in the past. I'm talking about bondage. Bondage to the past because of mistakes you made or the loss of a loved one. Or maybe, and I've seen this, you just wished it could be like it used to be. Can I just go ahead and say this? Me too. But it can't. You get to bragging about how good things are. Yeah, Brother Ron, but I sure miss it when we were... Get over it! I miss it too, but I've got another day to live. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You can't take it back to the way it used to be. By the way, if you could go back to the way it used to be, you wouldn't be the way you used to be. You'd ruin the whole thing. Somebody understand what I'm saying? You can't go back, and if you could, it wouldn't be the way it was. Why? Because you know things you didn't know back then. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that long for the way it used to be, and therefore they just pretty well walk around. You know? Yeah. I'm just doing the best I can. No, you're not. You're looking for sympathy. You know, some people cannot enjoy this season of life for longing for the last season of life. I've seen few people embrace their season of life better than Brother Sam Torrance. I've watched this man since 1988. And whether I live to be 70, 80, or 90, I hope I handle the new seasons in life as well as he has. And I appreciate that. Okay, so you can't get out and pour concrete like you used to could. Then go out there and aggravate the ones that are pouring the concrete. While they're doing it, you tell them the way you'd have done it if you could do it. But do something besides wishing you were 30 again. And please, if you're 50, don't try to look 30. Because you won't look 30. Everybody okay? I'm just telling you, people are in bondage. Drugs and alcohol and bitterness and anger and all those things, but also in bondage to the past. The list is endless of the different forms of bondage. Would you call addiction a bondage? Because you would talk about addiction to alcohol, addiction to tobacco, addiction to pornography, but you don't want to talk about addiction to sweets. You just said it was bondage until it becomes the one you're addicted to. To certain drinks. What about gaming? Heard last night about a man that was gaming while his kids were out walking, I reckon too close to the road and way from where they ought to be. And he had no idea. He's gaming. I'm talking about an adult. You believe people are addicted to gaming? Social media? Texting? Could you be addicted to that? People are in bondage to tradition. That's what I saw yesterday. It's all they know. People are in bondage to religion. Their denomination. In the late 70s, early 80s, I was preaching for a pastor. He had me preach several times. And then in 91, we started Cornerstone. Here's what he told some of my family. He said, he'll never preach for me again. Isn't that something? My doctrine didn't change. The Bible didn't change. Holy Spirit's still in me. Nothing changed except for the name of the church. But I'll never preach for him again. He's in bondage. You know what I learned about the brethren, and especially some, quote, denominational people, is they want you to get saved. They want you to get saved. Just don't take the Bible too seriously. When you start taking that Bible seriously, then you're going to find out where they're wrong about things, and then you're going to try to correct it, and then you're going to be the bad guy. So you just get saved and stay babies all your life. Don't let the Bible be your final authority, because it's not their final authority. The denomination is their final authority. Are y'all getting this? Have you noticed that the amens are better when I'm on somebody else's bondage? Have you noticed that? Thought you might have noticed that. People in bondage to tradition, religion, culture, styles, fashion, movies, music, entertainment, language. The other day, I don't know how this came about, but Brother Brad was standing in my study and we got to talking about something. I made some comment. I said something to the effect of, have you noticed, Brother Brad, that people can't go anywhere anymore without a tumbler in their hand? Brother Brad said one of the most profound things I've ever heard him say. Because I was trying to figure out what to call that. And it wasn't going, my words weren't near. Brother Brad just hit a home run. He said, oh yeah, that's in vogue. Where's he at? Is that what you said? Yeah, probably. No, that's what you said. In vogue. Have you noticed? Especially kids will have coffee out in the gym and it's, you see, they're not wanting the coffee. They're wanting to project an image. Are y'all getting this? That's a form of bondage. You got to project an image, and that's what people, all these tumblers. It started out, some people had to always have water because they had some serious health issue. Or they're trying to lose weight, and I've seen people with tumblers that haven't lost a pound in 6 months. But they got to have it. Admit it. Don't get mad at me. I didn't even say you're guilty. You're the one that's feeling guilty, or you wouldn't be thinking about me what you're thinking right now. I'm even seeing some dirty looks right now. You're in bondage. A lot of forms of bondage. People with a chip on their shoulder. You ever met somebody with a chip on their shoulder? It's really a sad thing. Every reason in the world to be happy. And you'd like them if they just get rid of the chip. They think you don't like them. No, we just don't like the chip. Or there's people always trying to prove themselves to others because they want to be accepted. There are people who live with a paranoia. They think you're against them when you're not. There are people who live in the bondage of insecurity. They want to fit in. They want to measure up. But I keep asking this question, all kinds of bondage, but will you admit it? Will you admit it? You ever heard this? I just feel stuck in my marriage. I'm just stuck. I'm stuck in this job. I'm financially strapped. No way out. Can't see any way out of it. Amen. I've talked to people in this church. I'm praying with them. I'm trying to help them. Brother, I just can't get past this. I just can't get past this. I just keep messing up. I keep doing the same thing over and over. I feel stuck. I'm stuck in this marriage. I'm stuck in this job. I'm stuck in this class. I'm stuck in this relationship. I'm stuck. You may not be. You may just need somebody or something outside of yourself to help you. If you will admit it. I could go on and on and on. What are the symptoms of people in bondage? Lack of joy. Some of you qualify. Lack of motivation. Young lady told me recently, she said, I just didn't even want to get out of bed. I'm talking about somebody that's got a good life. That's what they told me. Lost your purpose. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Lost my purpose. I just can't see any reason for me to get out of house today. I'm talking about symptoms or maybe signs of being in bondage, a lack of joy, a lack of motivation, a lack of purpose. Constantly discontented. I think one of the greatest examples or signs or symptoms of bondage is you're always blaming somebody else for your situation. Or you're trying to justify why you are the way you are. Well, if you knew what I was going through, well, if you knew what others were going through, you'd look at yourself as a Sunday school picnic. But you just want to stay in bondage. See, people sometimes are sick for so long, they don't want to get healed because that means they're going to have to be responsible. People don't want to be responsible in our world. They want the government to take care of them. People who are in bondage, lack of joy, lack of motivation, lack of purpose, discontentment, always blaming others, try to justify your situation. You can't make changes to the routine. Somebody suggests you need to shake things up a little bit, but you just can't muster up the energy to change things.
Well, preacher, I've been doing it this way for 30 years.
Well, just don't make it 31. Or Another sign of symptom of bondage or whatever you want to call it is people that are so proud they won't ask for help. Now, the problem is deeper than even you or I normally think. When we're talking about these kinds of bondage, please hear this. You know the verse well. Paul said, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind." Listen, my mind bringing me into captivity. The reason you are in bondage is because your mind is messed up. And you're not thinking with the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2. And you're not renewing your mind, Ephesians chapter 4. And Romans chapter 12. Instead of being conformed, you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Bible tells you the things that you're to think on and the things that you're to meditate on, and it refreshes and it renews and it helps you in your mind to realize, no, you're not in bondage. It's self-inflicted. And you can get out of it. I'll try to explain it to you. The Old Testament king named Saul lived in a palace, but in his mind he was in prison. You know why? He convinced himself that David was out to get him. And it wasn't even true. And his whole life was dictated every day by a lie. He thought something was so, but it was not so. I'll give you another illustration. And by the way, Saul was miserable when he should have been happy. Another illustration would be the Jewish people. The Jewish people were given the Ten Commandments. We've got a Jewish Savior. We've got a Jewish Bible. They're God's favorite people. They're the apple of His eye. God went to them and gave Him His commandments. But they built upon those until they come up with about 613 or something. Remember that? I mean, if you study Jewish history, they came up with all these other commandments. Now, please hear what I'm about to say. Those commandments were not bad. And I was going to take you this morning to Mark 7 where Jesus looked at them and said, "You reject the Word of God in order to keep your own tradition." You see, they come up with all these laws and rules and they were really good. But then they got mad at Jesus because He picked an ear of corn on the Sabbath. Are y'all with me? Now, there's things that irk me. I love that word, irk. It just sounds like it's what it is. That irked me. I don't like people wearing hats in the sanctuary. But can I tell you something? If they come in here with a hat on, cool it. They ain't going to hell for it. Now, y'all get my point here? We can come up with our own. We've got good principles, biblical principles that we follow. I talked about this Wednesday night. Somebody will come up with a list of 100 things they're looking for in a spouse, and then daddy will say, if he matches this, this, and this, then you can talk to him, but that's all you're going to do is talk to him. And if he fits this list, I might even let you talk to him outside in the parking lot after church. And daddies and mamas come up with all these different rules, and they're good. They're biblically based. They're principles. I like them. But they don't trump the Holy Spirit. You can become you can get in bondage to that stuff. Is everybody listening? I'm just talking about all the different forms of bondage, and that's what happened to the Jewish people because the Son of God came to rescue them and deliver them, but He picked corn on Saturday, and you can't do that. Because the reason this is a great example of bondage is when you create all of these different principles and standards, and they're great and they're wonderful. And you've got traditions, good traditions. Paul said, hold fast to the traditions. They're good traditions. But when you get to the point where you cannot hear the Holy Spirit and you cannot hear the Bible, you're in bondage. I know people in bondage to their own personal interpretation of Scripture. I've had people tell me what the Bible says about the races, and as I'm listening to them tell me what the Bible says about the races, I'm sitting there thinking, it's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. Where did you get that out of the Bible? You're telling me that's what the Bible says? It's not what the Bible says. But if I were to try, see, I'm thinking that if I told them that, they'd write me off. Why? Because what they've concluded is more important than what it actually says. I know people that are in bondage to conspiracy theories. It doesn't matter whether the theory is right or wrong. Can I tell y'all something? There's a conspiracy going on. I promise you. I'm telling you the facts. There's a conspiracy. So what are you going to do? Mow your yard. Take out the trash. Yeah, there's a conspiracy going on. So what do you need to do? Take your son on a camping trip. Read your Bible. We don't need you to tell us there's a conspiracy. There's been conspiracies going on ever since Genesis chapter 3. But you ain't going to change that and you ain't going to fix that. So why don't you go ahead and live for God and quit being addicted to some theory? Whether it's right or wrong. See, it's like Brother Chris was preaching on this morning. You're more interested in some of that stuff than you are witnessing. You want somebody to know that you know something they don't know. And if you only knew what I knew. I've been there, by the way. I read all the books in the 80s and walked around in paranoia. And didn't get anything accomplished. Everybody okay?
Amen.
Okay. I said stupid. That's one of your addictions. You hate people that say stupid. You can be in bondage to talk radio. You can be in bondage to TikTok. Anybody agree with that? Good, because I don't even know what it is. I just wrote it down. And then I put this down. I don't know what that is, but I've heard so much about it, there must be somebody addicted to it. You can be in bondage to imagined health problems. Feel that, honey. I ain't never felt that before. I went to the doctor one time. I'm serious. I was 42. I had something I'd never had before. And it wouldn't go away. I think for 6 months. I figured it out. I had 3 days to live. I was going to die of cancer. So I thought, well, I'll see if the doctor agrees with me. So he checked me out real good. I don't like the kind of checking out they did. I mean, I went to the dermatologist recently and everybody was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Get naked." She was with me. Isn't that what they said? See, what they want you to do is take your clothes off so they can see if you got any spots on you. And they wanted me to get naked, not naked, and I said, "No, thank you." So I'm 42 years old and I got this problem and it won't go away. And so he looks at me real good. I said, "What's the problem, Doc? It's going to be okay?" He said, "You're getting old." He said, "Everybody gets about this age has this problem." I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No." I said, "What am I supposed to do about it?" He said, "Nothing." Well, that ruined my day. Now I can't walk around depressed. Now I can't walk around worrying about this problem I've got. And looking for sympathy. But see, you may be in bondage to genuine health problems. You can have genuine health problems. Guess what? Welcome to America! Let's share our burdens. You could come to me and just decide you're going to be miserable the rest of your life because here's the problem you're going to have to face. And the doctor says you're just going to have to live with this the rest of your life. I guarantee there's somebody else in here that's got something worse. And they got joy and you don't. I'm not making light of your problem. Here's the problem with this message. I am not making problem of your addiction, your bondage, your captivity. I am not making fun of it. Forgive me for my misuse of words. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just telling you, you don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to live in captivity. You don't have to live frustrated and miserable and paralyzed spiritually and emotionally. You don't have to live that way. Now listen, are you in bondage? Answer that inside of your own soul. in bondage. Addictions. Improper thinking. What did Jesus mean when He said in Luke 4 that He came to preach deliverance to the captives? That's what He said He came to do. What does the Bible mean when it says in Galatians 5, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage"? What does the Bible mean in John 8 when Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free"? And He said in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." We've been in Romans 8 all summer. The Bible says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." 2 Corinthians says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Lately, I have talked with so many people, and on the surface, they would tell you that they're battling pornography, or they're battling depression, or alcohol, or gaming, or music, or peer pressure, or insecurity. And it's connected to the spirit that they have, a spirit of defeat and oppression and apathy and complacency, and they're paralyzed emotionally. And if they'd be honest, they would say, "This spirit, this attitude that you're looking at, I feel stuck." And that would be a good way to start deliverance. Stuck. And I can't get out unless I get some help outside of myself. I think of Joseph in the Old Testament in the pit and in the prison. You know what I like about Joseph? He never had an "I'm stuck" attitude. He just never had an "I'm stuck" attitude. I think of Paul the Apostle, beaten, imprisoned, stoned, shipwrecked, but he never had an "I'm stuck" attitude. So if you'd have looked at him in prison and looked at the guard outside of the cell, you'd have known that the guard was battling bondage more than Paul was. And Joseph's brothers were not in prison, but they were battling bondage more than he was. Because in the mind is where the victory is won or lost. And so, I want to remind you of something, and we're going to have an invitation. And this is what I really wish we had more time to preach, and I'm not faulting you for me feeling the need to wrap this up. You can only handle so much. I told Jacob yesterday, or somebody yesterday, and I think it was him, that it seemed like God used the message and we gave an invitation. But then as soon as the invitation is over, okay, now let's go get some snacks and let's go fellowship and let's go have some more music and then let's go. And there's never really anything done about what God just said. That's the sort of bondage we're in as churches. We just get in this trap of, okay, that's the sermon, now it's time to go eat. No, now it's time to fix something. And this is a bondage even in our church. That all we get in a bondage to ritual, formalism. And so I want to remind you very, very quickly, I'll be very quick here, with an excerpt from a series of sermons I preached. And I'm trying to remember when I preached this. It's only been a couple of years, I think. 2 years ago, called "In Bondage to Lies." I just read a passage in 2 Timothy 2 that says you have to acknowledge the truth. See, the way to deal with a lie is with the truth. And if you'll acknowledge the truth, you can be set free. "What is truth?" Pilate asked Jesus. Today they say, "Well, that's your truth, but it's not my truth." Well, is there anything called absolute truth? How many of you believe what God says is truth? How many of you believe everybody has a sinful nature? That's what the Bible says. That's absolute truth. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's still the truth. How many of you believe that God created the heaven and the earth? That's absolute truth. Doesn't matter whether the scientist, the philosopher, the evolutionist, the atheist, the agnostic, doesn't matter whether they believe it or not, it's still truth. How many of you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? That's absolute truth. How many of you believe He's coming again? That's absolute truth. Praise the Lord. He said it. I believe it. That's all there is to it. He's right. Now, every now and then, some smart person will get on TV and tell you that something's going on, like the earth is flat. Global warming is going to destroy us. All men are basically good. Men evolved from apes. And I really believe there are people that believe that. But did you know believing it doesn't make it true? Believing it doesn't make it true. I believe personally that the earth is not round or flat. I believe it's a square. I believe life came from an explosion, and I believe that I'm going to pass the next test I take, and I'm 6'10". Believing it doesn't make it so. I wish I had the ability to communicate something to all of you young people. Truth is independent of belief. Truth is truth whether you believe it or not. God is in the third heaven whether you believe it or not. I like the definition of truth that someone said, it is that which corresponds to reality as perceived by God. Your perception may not be truth, but His is. Do you believe, let me ask y'all this, do you believe what God says about Jesus? Or what historians say about Jesus? Who do you believe? Let me ask you this, do you believe what God's Word says about Jesus or what an atheist says about Jesus? How many of you believe what God's Word says about Jesus? Amen.
Amen.
How many of you believe what God's Word says about Jesus more than a liberal theologian says about Jesus? You believe what God's Word says about Jesus, right? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe what God says about you? Or do you believe what others are saying about you? Do you believe what God says about you or what you feel about you? You see, if you believe what God says versus what others say, it will determine bondage or freedom. And that's why so many young people are in bondage. Because they believe what everybody says except what God says. Because you'll say, oh, I'm useless. I'm ugly. I'm an outcast. I'm a failure. I'm no good. I'm not talented. I have nothing to offer. Is that what God says? You see, I've often said we don't need psychology or philosophy. Technically, that's not 100% true. Psychology is the study of the mind. It's the study of mental life. You know what we need? We need God's verdict on this subject. If I sound, when I'm preaching, like a psychologist here in a few minutes, if I sound like a psychologist, or even if I sound a little bit charismatic, I'm not worried about how it sounds. Because I'm not in bondage to your opinion. You understand what I just told you? All that you would get a hold of that. That you can speak truth without fear of what somebody thinks about it, because then they become your master. Hear me. You, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you are spirit, soul, and body. You are not a body with a soul. You are a soul with a body. And the devil's going to lie to you, and it's what Brother Chris was preaching about in Sunday school. He's going to get you to focus on the body and ignore the soul. And the body is not redeemed, but the soul is. So when I say, who are you? Baptists use terms like, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, that's not all you are. They will use terms like lost sinners and saved sinners, but that's not Bible terminology. If you are born again this morning, if you are saved, the Bible says in Ephesians 1 that you are in Christ, in verse 1, in Christ, in verse 3, in Him, in verse 4, in the Beloved, verse 6, in Christ, verse 10, in whom we have believed, in verse 11. If you're saved, the Bible says God hath commended His love toward us. Please get this. God committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Are you saved now? And quit thinking of yourself as a sinner and think of yourself as a child of the King. Quit thinking of yourself as a no good nothing and start thinking of yourself as somebody that God wants to use for His glory, and He's paid a high price for you. He must think something of you. Today in America there's a so-called identity crisis. Gender identity. They say Facebook has over 50 options for you. I got two for you. Do you agree with me that God says you're either male or female? Do you accept what God says about you, that you're a male or female? So how do you get in Christ? This is what you couldn't have found out yesterday from four testimonies. You get in Christ by placing your faith in what He did for you at Calvary, trusting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your eternal soul, and receive the Son of God into your life. And when that happens, God places you in His body, and you belong to the family of God. Now listen to me. Because I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ and trusted Him, His life becomes my life. His death, my death. His resurrection, my resurrection. I'm seated in the heavenlies. I'm as good as there. And the Bible says, listen to me, the Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Hath given to us. He that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Listen, who am I right now? I'm a child of the God King and I've got eternal life. I don't wait till I die to get it. I've already got it. Okay, so if you're saved, would you say amen? Okay, do you believe what God says about you? Do you believe the Word of God over what everybody else says? According to the Bible, you are, and behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Hebrews 2:11 says He's not ashamed to call me His brother. Who am I? I'm Jesus, His little brother. Stop and listen to me and I'm almost through. According to Ephesians, I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm accepted, I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven, I've got an inheritance, I'm sealed, I'm quickened, I'm seated in heavenly places, I'm His workmanship, I have access to God, I'm a citizen of heaven. Do you believe what God says? You believe absolute truth? You say, I'm rejected and I'm unloved. God says, you're accepted in the Beloved. You say, I'm dirty and I'm defiled. God says, you're clean. You say, I'm guilty and I'm wrong. God says, you're forgiven and there's now no condemnation. You say, I'm worthless and I'm helpless. The Bible says God paid the blood of His Son for you. I wouldn't call that worthless. You say, I'm nothing and I'm nobody. The Bible says I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If I believe what God says, I'm His child, I'm Jesus' brother, I'm His friend, I'm forgiven, I'm complete, I'm free, I'm one with Christ, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, I am rich beyond measure, and the riches are listed in 2 Corinthians 8 and Ephesians chapter 1. And I can believe that, or I can believe the lies of the devil who says, you're stuck and there's no way out. And God says, acknowledge it and I'll help you get out of it. Amen. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.